All right, I'll shout a little bit until the air conditioner goes off. So anyone who has a Bible, anybody with a Bible will be able to quickly see and be able to quickly tell you that God's ways are not our ways. That God often makes choices that you and I would not make. But anyone with a Bible would be able to say and see quickly, very quickly, that God's ways are not our ways. And he does some pretty strange things. Like if you were to look at your Bible today, how many of you would agree that there are some pretty strange things in that book? How many? Raise your hand. Put it up high. Pretty odd things. God chooses some strange situations. God picks some very strange people. And there are some really odd choices in the Bible. I want you to read a few verses with me this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll start there. We're going to bounce a little bit. No. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age, the debater? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Have you ever, do you, how many of you have heard what the world thinks is wise lately? Have you been paying attention? I mean, have you seen and heard what the world thinks is wise lately? Yeah. Well, look at verse 27 then. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Then it says this, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are mighty. And then he says, and the base things of the world to put, which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not. So look at these things. Here's God's choices, all right? Foolish, weak, base, and things that are nothing. I could tell you that the world probably looks at people like you and I and says, they're nothing. They're weak. They're foolish. Look at their faith. They believe in a God that they can't see. They believe that this God of theirs is going to judge the world. They believe these strange things. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And then he chooses these people, like you and I, and then this is what is said about them in addition to that in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. This says, he who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. God calls you to certain situations and calls you into certain things, and then he accomplishes that thing which he calls you to do. Heard a great illustration of this. A little girl says to her daddy, she's crying on Christmas morning, and she says, Daddy, I didn't get you anything. Or no, crying before Christmas. I don't have anything to get you for Christmas. I don't have any money. And I don't even really know what you want, Daddy. And he made a couple of hints. And then he gave her some money, snuck her some money. She didn't know where it came from. And she went out and she bought him the thing. And then she gift wrapped it and gave it to him. And he got it. It was blessed. It was what he wanted her to get her, but he also provided what she needed to give it to him. Faithful as he who called you, he will also do it. Then there's a great verse that many of us are familiar with in Philippians 4:13. And although we've talked about this as about giving, which is really the context, it has other application too. And it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who strengthens me?
Christ.
To do what I need to do? Who? That table back there, who? Say it out loud. What about this table here? Who strengthens you? Who strengthens this table?
Christ.
So, God calls people that can't to do impossible things and then gives them what they need to have to do it. God calls foolish people to do amazing things. He calls weak people to do things that require great strength. He calls the most bizarre, it does the most crazy things, and I'm going to give you some examples that are pretty interesting. Why? Because in Isaiah 55, and we're going to turn there now, I had one person come to church many, many years ago. He came up to me after church and he said, I like what you had to say, but I didn't like that you were looking at so many different Bible verses. I had to turn to too many Bible verses. I said, what do you do for work? He said, I'm a carpenter. I said, you are? I said, you use a lot of different boards and nails and screws throughout the day to do things? Yes. I said, have a nice day. Go home and enjoy your roast. Whatever you're going to. Isaiah 55. Verse 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Think about that for a minute. Here's God who says basically this. I don't think like you at all. The way you think, it's not at all the way I think. You know, I was thinking. Oh, you were? Hopefully I've transformed the way you think a little bit through the Word of God, God might say to you. But many times our thoughts, what's going through our head, is not what God thinks at all. And what God thinks about you is not at all what you think about you. Guaranteed. There's nobody in here who thinks about themselves the way that God thinks about you. Nobody. Not a single person. Why? Because God is omniscient and omnipotent. And he is all wise. And he has such gracious finished work thoughts about you and sees you and evaluates you in a way that you never evaluate yourself. My ways are not your ways. Your ways are my ways. So God says, I don't think like you, and I don't do things like you do. My ways are not your ways. And then he says, here's how different they are. God gives an example. Earth, heavens, the stars, as far as the stars are above the earth, the heavens. That's what he's saying. As far as the heavenlies are above the earth, that's the space, the difference between the way I think and the way you think. Light years difference. I heard somebody say one time, one of my teachers in high school said to Mr. Foley, he said, you know, you could look at a star tonight and it could be out, like burned out, and you won't know about it for another 20 years. Something like that. Or a couple years. I don't remember what it was. He said, that's even with that light speed, that's how far those stars are away from the earth. Think about how far away God's thoughts are from your thoughts and how far away your thoughts tend to be from the way God thinks. Have you ever thought of that? No. No, you have. Unless you've read Isaiah 55, maybe you've thought that before. So Why does God do what he does? Why does God do it the way that he does? Well, it's kind of described in that 1 Corinthians passage where he says to put to naught the things that are though, and to make the ways of the world and the wisdom of the world foolish, to show them and expose the craziness in the world and the way the world thinks and the way you think. Also, because of Romans 11, his infinite wisdom that's unsearchable, and his ways are past finding out. So we ask the question, God, why did you do that? That's not a good question to ask because it's past finding out. How many understand what I mean by that? You can ask, God, why did you take my dad when I was 16? That's past finding out. You'll get glimpses of why God does things, but you'll never know the whole reason. Why won't I know the entire reason for everything that happens? Because I'm not who? Thank you. Will I ever be God? Hello? So will you ever know why everything happened? No, not even in heaven. I don't like that song. Well, in heaven, we'll know why God did everything he did. No, you won't, because you still won't understand it. You still won't be as smart as God and as wise as God and have the understanding that God has and the ability to take everything into consideration. You know, we were thinking about my father-in-law being in the nursing home. We're thinking about my father being in the nursing home, and you get these little glimpses why he's there. You know? The two people sitting here at that table are one of those glimpses that we got why we ended up there in the nursing home with my father-in-law to meet these dear people. But that's just a glimpse. We'll never know the whole reason. We'll never know all of it ever. It's impossible. But God does some really crazy things. Think about these examples. Who would use a man who'd never seen rain or water to build a giant boat? Who would use a barren woman to birth a prophet? Who would use a boy to kill a giant? Okay, who was the prophet? Samuel. Who's the boy? All right. Who would use a backslider to preach to a nation? Anybody know? Nation Nineveh? Jonah. Who would use a century-old man to have a young child who would bring forth the promise? Who would do that? Who is the man? Who would use a virgin to give us Christ? Who would tell a man with a withered hand that to be healed he's got to just stick it out to him? Stretch it out to him. Who would tell a blind man to go wash in a river that he couldn't see to find? Who would use a prostitute to save a nation and be the great, great, great grandmother of Jesus? You know who that is? Who's that? Rahab. Who would use a man hiding behind a wine press, hiding in a vineyard to lead a nation out of bondage? Gideon, right? Who would use a man with a speech impediment? Moses. Who would take a ruddy little shepherd boy and make him Israel's greatest king? Who would stand in front of a tomb of a man who's been dead 3 days and say, come here? And as was mentioned this morning, who would pick a murderer to teach 1 Corinthians 13? You imagine Paul sitting getting ready to write 1 Corinthians 13, love is, and saying, God, really? Am I the best qualified person? You couldn't find anybody anywhere else. I thought John had a handle on love. Why are you using me to write this? Why doesn't John write about love? Paul, John will write about love from his perspective. You have learned love from a different perspective than John. you were a murderer that I loved. You're going to have a profound impact. People are going to quote this at weddings for centuries to come. Right? These are God's choices. So here you are sitting here today, and let me ask you a question. Can God use you?
Absolutely.
After that list, but here's something else you'll learn. Not only can God use you, but let me ask you a question. When life is hard, is it possible that that's God? When things are tough, is it possible that that's God too? When circumstances are frustrating, is it possible that God has led you into those circumstances? Absolutely. You know, Pharaoh let him go. And was everything fine after that? No. He let him go, and within a matter of days, they were up against the Red Sea and couldn't pass. Frying pan? Fire. You ever feel that way? Boy, God, thanks for the deliverance. But then you stand there, and let me just say this. The harder the situation God puts you in, the greater the display of His power. The harder the situation you're in, the greater display of the power of God you'll see. You know, sometimes you're in a pretty bad situation. And you say, "Why, God?" God may whisper in your ear now, say, "I'm going to show you something. Me. Let me show you me. Lord, I'm looking for the seat apart." Moses was looking for God. You know, me, I want to get out of trouble. God wants me to see Him and get to know Him. And they get through the sea, and was that it? Now we're free, right? What do they run into after the sea? The Red Sea. They get to the Promised Land. What do they find in the Promised Land? Derek, what do they find?
Giants!
What? Okay, God, wait a second. You said the land would be flowing with milk and honey, and it would be incredible here. And God says, "Did I lie? Did the spies find the milk and the honey? You remember what they found in there? They found grapes as big as basketballs, right? Figs as big as softballs, and watermelons like Volkswagens. I mean, they just saw, it was huge what they found in there. They were pulling grapes out on a pole, enormous. Finger Lakes is nothing compared to that, I promise you." Wine country, nothing. You know? Was God lying when He said that that would happen? No. But there were obstacles in there. And I'll tell you why. I was thinking about this. One of the reasons why I think this is the case. We will not appreciate the incredible things God gives us unless there's opposition in our life. We would become, think about what we'd become with no opposition. If you just got everything you wanted, everything that was available, you just got it all the time, without any condition, without any difficulty. You just got all your prayers answered, whatever you want, all the time. What do you think would happen to you? You'd be a miserable, negative, deceived, depressed person. Because the most important thing in your life would be missing, and that's character. That's character. See, His ways may not make any sense right now. Situation may seem bad, and the issue may be very painful. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 30. Even the Utes. Yeah. Everyone immediately goes to my cousin Vinny. Even the Utes shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Hey, guys, get ready. You will utterly fall. I don't want you to. You don't want to. Hey, Utes. You will, what does it say here? Faint and be weary. You know, sometimes I watch these young guys like all day long. Like, you know, pause like this. All day long, work, then come home, keep going, we're going to go, and then go to karate at night, come back. But he will get weary. Young men, you will fall. Look at verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. There's a key word in this passage. And it's pretty incredible. It's the word shall renew their strength. And that word renew means this. You ready for this? Here's the word. Get ready. Here it comes. It's coming. You looking up here? Do I have your attention? Write this word down. Exchange. Exchange. That's one of the key meanings in the classical use of this Hebrew word, exchange. You will exchange your pitiful, limited strength and capacity for the strength and ability of an unlimited God. How? Wait. I'm going to tell you a Greek word. You've heard it a zillion times. You probably guess it's coming. Hupomone. Remain under. Remain under what? That crazy situation. That difficult thing you're going through. What's the first temptation we have when trouble comes?
Run.
Run from it. Get away from it. Try to avoid it. And that's natural. I mean, it's a natural thing. It's you know, we're kind of wired for some of that. The problem is we are fallen and sinful. And our thoughts are not God's thoughts. He's already told us that a little while ago. Right? Our thoughts are not as our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. So I guess when we go through things, a legitimate question to ask is, hey, God, is this one of your ways again? Is this one of your ways again, Lord? I'm not trying to be smart, Alec, but Lord, are you doing one of your things again? Should I be waiting? Do you want me to wait and remain under? Should I run from this or should I? Now, sometimes we don't have time to run, you know. Here there's a bomb about to go off somewhere. You run. You don't say, oh, Lord, I wonder if this is one of your ways. No, you get out of the building. Right? So, but some of this stuff is unavoidable. You lose a loved one. That's unavoidable. You have a conflict with another person in the church or at work. And the first temptation is, I want to get away from this. I want to avoid all this. And God says, wait on me, and I'm going to exchange something. The way you think, I'm going to give you new thoughts. Your strength, I'm going to give you a new strength. Paul is at a point in his life where he's got a demon harassing him. And he prays, Lord, he prayed three times, Lord, take this thorn out of my flesh. No. No. And then what did God say the third time? No. But Lord, I'm the apostle. No. Okay, Lord, but I'm a Christian. No. Okay, Lord, I totally don't deserve anything from you. Still no. My grace, here's God's answer, my grace is sufficient for you. All you need is the grace of God, and my friend, you already have it. Hello? Everybody understand that? You already have God's grace. Now you're going to wait on him and wait for the exchange to happen. Right? Because these things he does are beyond our control. They're beyond our ability to understand them. Sometimes they're just so absolutely crazy. And then there's the times God calls you to do things you don't want to do. With people you don't like. In places you don't want to go. Now, you've already heard the nursing home story. I've told you that a million times. Not the recent nursing home story, but when I was a younger guy, the smell was so bad. In one nursing home, I got sick. I vowed I would never go to a nursing home again. And then my pastor sent me into one, and I was there 5 years. In the first year, I hated it, but I went. In the second year, I despised it, and I still went. In the third year, I didn't like it, but I went anyway. And the fourth year, I started to thank God for the opportunity to be there. And the fifth year, I learned how to preach in a nursing home. You might be asking yourself, you learned how to preach? That's a news for us. That's a joke. So, but that's where I was exposed to public speaking. And I didn't want to go there. But see, God's ways are way higher than our ways. So God may call you to do something you don't want to do, maybe even with people you don't want to do it with. Maybe in a place you don't want to do it. Do it anyway. Go anyway. Be thankful anyway. What Menzo read this morning about, be anxious for nothing, but with all thanksgiving, but with thanksgiving. And boy, that is so important. You don't have to be thankful for the bad situation, but you got to find things to be thankful for in that situation, can't you? Are you thankful that that person is still in your life? Aren't you thankful that God is still giving you another day to show love? Aren't you grateful that you have a beautiful home? Aren't you grateful that you live in a great place? Aren't you grateful for your food? Honestly, do you say grace at meals? This is something that I was thinking about last week. I don't remember what triggered it, but I had eaten like 3 days in a row, and I never thanked God for any of my meals. Sometimes I just sit down and eat. And you know, it's like even a small thing, to forget to be thankful for small things, do you think we're going to forget to be thankful for big things too? Yeah. Do you think there's any difference between them to God? There really isn't. So it doesn't have to be a long thing. It doesn't have to be an out loud thing, but it needs to be a thankful thing. To be thankful is so important. And so I just want to leave you with that today and just say, in closing, I want to just make a comment about this tragedy in Seneca Falls as we close here, because it's kind of related to this. This dear young person somehow felt that they needed to escape pain or rejection, the feelings of maybe being unloved, maybe even being victimized. I don't know the situation at all. But the unbearable emotional pain that some people experience
is only answered with one thing. The friendship of God. That's it. To know He's there and not get an answer is enough. But when we don't know He's there, and as was said this morning, we have no hope, people become very desperate. So here you are now, and God says to you, I want you to go into a nursing home. I want you to visit a prison. I want you to go see your neighbor. Can I tell you something? You have no idea what's ahead when you're asked to do something. You have no idea what this crazy thing God's asking you to do, or this crazy situation you're in, you have no idea what it's going to lead you to. Very likely it's going to lead you to somebody who needs the friendship of God. Very likely it's going to lead you to somebody who is desperately seeking questions, deep, emotionally painful scars and questions. And don't you and I want to be there for those people? Hello? Some of you know how to do that in a masterful way. Far better than I do. And I want to encourage you. Let God take you where He wants to take you and to do with you what He wants to do with you. Even though you think you can't, even though you think somebody else could do a better job, the one God has called is you. Wait on the Lord and let Him renew your strength. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time today. And each one of us has so many doubts. You know, somebody said to me one time, you're so bold. I said, I'm a coward. In so many areas, I'm just a chicken. And I'm afraid of things and afraid of people. And I'm insecure just like everybody else. But God, You have brought each one of us into these situations where we learn to watch You do these incredible things. And You use us to do them, and then we sit back and we say, that's amazing that God did that. And we get to know a great God because You give us things that are bigger than us so that we can see something bigger than those things, someone bigger than everything. Someone who holds all things together with the word of His mouth. And as our Creator, You know more about us than we know about ourselves. As the omnipotent, omniscient One, You know more about others. You know life. You are life. And so, God, we ask You to help us, God, to get to a point where we will wait on You and trust You when You do these things that appear to be absolutely crazy. And to see You in them because You're there all the time. You're everywhere. And we want You to, as that great prophet said to his servant, open your eyes. And when he did, he saw all those angels and chariots around him. There's so much more to see than we see with our own eyes. So, Father, we thank You for that, and we pray that You'd open our eyes to see the incredible things that You can do and will do in us and through us and all around us, and to be grateful for them. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.